Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul.
Welcome to the Unknown Bible, the broadcast ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. Join us now for today's Bible study with our pastor, Bevins Welder.
Today we are continuing in a two-part sermon that we're doing on restoring your marriage. When your marriage is in trouble, you must work on restoring your marriage. Now, in the prior broadcast, we talked about several things already, so let me just briefly summarize. We talked about the need to be honest about your contribution to what has gone wrong. This is not where you're pointing out something that your spouse is doing. This is where you're taking ownership and responsibility for the things you're doing that are making the marriage worse. We talked about the need to sincerely apologize for what you've done wrong. In other words, it's one thing to be honest about your contribution to what's gone wrong. It's another thing to then face it and say to your spouse, I'm sorry. And not only so that you can continue to do it again, but I'm sorry with the intention of making the change, straightening out that problem. Then we talked about the need to establish some ground rules of communication, appropriate ways to speak to each other and appropriate ways to address others who you're not married to. For instance, things that you do with another woman or with another man that might cause jealousy, you know, cutting those things out. We talked about the need to establish appropriate boundaries. Appropriate boundaries. Listen, there are things. I'll tell you what happens oftentimes in a marriage. When things begin to crumble, one spouse or the other will start taking the blame for things they didn't do just to make peace. That's not an appropriate boundary. And also, sometimes people will cross over a boundary and attack and manipulate with anger. That's not appropriate. You have to put appropriate boundaries that don't allow one spouse to reach over and manipulate, and that don't allow one spouse to take blame for something that he or she that he or she didn't do. And then we talked about the need to establish achievable expectations for yourselves. And that's where the husband and wife each sit down and write their own personal expectations for themselves and for the spouse. And then you sit down and talk about those things together. Oftentimes people don't realize, I didn't realize that's what you expected. Or I didn't realize that you expected that of yourself. And then you go to work to make those expectations a reality when they are realistic and achievable. So continuing on then from there, we will add these other points. The next thing to do when you're attempting to restore your marriage is this, and this is very important: calmly, succinctly, and honestly describe the kinds of situations that contribute to problems in your marriage. Let me say it again. You and your spouse need to sit down and calmly, succinctly, and honestly describe the situations that contribute to problems in your marriage. This is now where you get an opportunity to say, when you do this or when you say that, this is the kind of response that I have, and it's a problem. We're talking about Proverbs chapter 27, verse 5. Open rebuke is better than secret love. Proverbs 27:5, open rebuke is better than secret love. This way, what you can do is your spouse can then go to work on these areas where he may be doing something or she may be doing something that is contributing to the problem. You can't make your spouse change, and you're not responsible for your spouse's decision to change, and you're not responsible for the decisions your spouse makes when he or she is wrong. Your spouse is the only one who can change himself or herself. But you can point out some areas where there are difficulties between you and your spouse. And you can point out the steps that you're going to take to appropriately protect yourself in those instances where there's a difficulty. And you can point out the steps you're going to take to improve your part of the problem. In other words, let's just say that you've got one spouse who is an angry person and uses that anger to manipulate the other person. Well, then the other spouse can say, listen, when you fly off the handle, I am going to go to the next room. In other words, I am not going to get into the argument with you now. You fly off the handle, I'm going to protect myself so that I'm not manipulated into making a bad decision, or I don't put myself in harm's way. You can make that choice, but you don't have to sit there and say, you know, every time you fly off the handle, this is what happens. Well, now you know what you've done. You've thrown a rock back, and you are going to get some more. So what you do is you say, I can't control your outburst, but I can control my response, and I can control my reaction. And this is what I'm going to do when I see it. And I want you to understand, it's not because I'm telling you I'm doing this so you change. I'm doing this to protect myself. Now, if you decide to change, great. At least you know what the problem area is. These are difficult conversations to have, but they are needed. Now, if your spouse wants to please you, then he or she can make the necessary changes and take the necessary steps to protect himself or herself. And you better be very complimentary and encouraging if your spouse does make some changes, because it takes a lot of work and it takes a lot of sacrifice to make changes like that. I mean, I realize that what your spouse has chosen to do is now to do the right thing, but when they've been used to doing the wrong thing long enough that it's created the kinds of problems that it has in your marriage, and they are now making the changes to fix that. Oh, I'll tell you what, you don't want to waste that effort. You want to tell them, man, I know this is hard for you, and I really appreciate what you're doing. Thank you very much. Be complimentary. Be encouraging. You're looking forward. I'll tell you what, being appreciated for the effort is very rewarding. And you know what it usually does? It usually encourages more of the same. So a good way to work at restoring your marriage is to, you know, point out the problem areas after you've dealt with the problem areas in your own life, and help your spouse understand these kinds of situations in your life are causing problems. When you come home, you know, this late at night, every night, when you could come home a little bit earlier, boy, it's putting a lot of strain and stress on our marriage. I have to deal everything with the kids, and you're not here to help, and that's a very difficult situation. You need to take that into consideration. You need to listen to that. All right, here's the next thing to do. Examine yourself. Examine yourself in the sight of God. Now, I'm going to give you a verse of Scripture that, you know, deals with your faith in Christ, but the exercise is the same. The doctrine is the same. 2 Corinthians 13:5. Examine yourselves, whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Now, Paul is discussing that with the Corinthians, but in the context of what we're talking about, the exercise is the right exercise. Examine yourself. Examine yourself in the sight of God. Get a true picture of yourself and quit believing your own prideful evaluation of yourself. You are not that great. You are not deserving of the kind of attention you think your spouse is supposed to give you. The Bible says, pride goeth before destruction, and an haughty spirit before a fall. Humility is a great way to see yourself before God. And when you examine yourself in the sight of God, then you know what it does? It tends to keep you humble, not only in the sight of God, but in your marriage as well. Take Job, for instance. When his friends came to comfort him, I'm sure they started out with good intentions, but man, that conversation went south in a hurry. And then they started arguing with each other. And the more that Job's friends tried to find an explanation for the suffering that Job was enduring by condemning him, the more he professed his own self-righteousness. Neither one of them were right, particularly as it came to their perception and understanding of God. Well, God finally showed up in a whirlwind, and Job got to hear from him, and Job got to see him in the sense that God was in that whirlwind speaking to him. And boy, I'm telling you, after Job saw himself in the sight of God, he completely changed his opinion of himself. He humbled himself. And he also properly exalted the Lord. When he did that, God said, now listen, to his three friends, you guys haven't said the thing that's right about me like my servant Job has, but if you'll go and take this sacrifice, Job will pray for you and then I'll accept you. You know, Job got the thing straightened out. Why? Because he saw himself in God's eyes the way that God could see him. And when you do that, then you get a true reflection of yourself. And you know, you'll find that there's pride in you that has been contributing to the problem in your marriage. And when you see it, you back down into a position of meekness and humility. And I'm telling you what, it will help your marriage because you'll know where you really are and not where you think you are. All right, here's the next thing to do. Get out all the sin in your life that is contributing to the problems in your married life. Okay, listen again. Get all the sin in your life that is contributing to the problems in your married life out. Proverbs 28:13. The Bible says, he that covereth his sins shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. Listen, when trouble starts in a marriage, oftentimes people will turn to sin to comfort and solace themselves. And they may start drinking, or they may start partying, or they may start watching pornography and things like that. Listen, quit going to the bars. Stop it. Quit tobacco. Sometimes people will smoke or dip, you know, and just, that's the way I got to deal with my problems. Listen, that's a nasty habit. You come home and you're expecting your spouse to give you a kiss. Kissing a smoker or a dipper is like licking an ashtray, all right? Or sucking up spit. Nasty, nasty. Listen, quit stimulating your imagination with wicked thinking and wicked viewing. I mean, just count the number of times you have looked or count the number of times you have thought wickedly. And I'm telling you, when you consider what's going on in your marriage, and then you consider what you're doing in your mind with wicked thinking, it's no wonder that you're having problems. Some men, and I'll speak specifically to men here, let their imaginations run wild and expose themselves to pictures and pornography that they shouldn't do. And then they expect their spouse to live up to their fantasies. Doesn't happen. And then you're creating problems for the marriage that you think is the fault of your spouse. It's your fault. Here's another thing. Quit cussing. That's right. It's not right to use that kind of language in these arguments. Quit intimidating your spouse with your anger. Just because you've been successful in the past to get real angry and cause your spouse to shut down and go along with you doesn't mean it was right for your marriage or for you or for her or him. Quit bossing your spouse around. Quit demanding things all the time. People are terrible about that. Listen, quit spending money irresponsibly. Oftentimes when marriages begin to suffer, people start spending more thinking it'll make them happy, and they get very reckless with their finances, and the next thing you know, they're really struggling because they're deeply indebted and having all kinds of difficulty. You've got to stop that. Quit spending money irresponsibly. Quit gossiping to your friends about your problems. They can't solve your problems. You go to work and you say, man, my wife, blah, 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 blah. Or you go to work and you say, man, my husband, blah, 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 blah. And you start running all that stuff out. You know what it does? Gossiping simply prolongs the problems in your marriage. Why? Because there are no solutions in the gossip. All you're doing is managing your stress. You are just relieving some of the stress by putting it off on somebody else so you can come home and fight some more. Not solving anything. I've noticed in workplaces where you've got like a corporate environment, a secretary is going through difficulty in her marriage, and she starts talking to another lady at work who's gone through similar problems in her marriage that ended in divorce. Within 6 months, that secretary is going to be divorced. You didn't solve anything. You created more problems by gossiping. Stop it. Listen, the folks you're talking to cannot solve your problems. By talking, you're just relieving the tension. You're taking away the fuel necessary to change what's broken in your marriage. And at the same time, you're just making yourself sound right and your spouse sound wrong. The people you're talking to only know one side of the story, yours. Of course they're going to agree with you. And that's not going to help you at all. At all. Here's the next thing to do when you're trying to restore your marriage, when you're having difficulties. Go to work on making your marriage a happy marriage. That's right. You say, well, our marriage is not a happy marriage. Well, you're not even putting any effort into making it a happy marriage. Proverbs chapter 5, verse 18. Proverbs chapter 5, verse 18. The Bible says, let thy fountain be blessed and rejoice with the wife of thy youth. A happy marriage takes a lot of work. You know, you look at people who've been married a long time and you say, man, they sure seem to be happy. I'm going to tell you something. They're that way because they put a lot of effort into it. And when you're setting a goal for improving your marriage, don't just survive, thrive. When you want to have a happy marriage, you've got to remember something. There is no instant gratification. There's no instant gratification in repairing a marriage. There's not. When it's been messed up, it takes that much more work to fix it and make it happy than if you started from a marriage at neutral. You know, once that thing is already headed south some, you got a lot of work to do. But don't get discouraged. If you put the effort in, if you really work on it, both of you, you can have a happy marriage. Look for steady, slow progress and rejoice in moves that you make and in moves that your spouse makes that are in the right direction. Some people say, well, I'll tell you, when he starts doing this, then I'll get happy. Don't wait for huge changes before you can smile and rejoice. There's so many times in life where I've seen what I'm going to tell you. So let me use a medical illustration. I have a brother that had a certain kind of surgery years ago. And after he had the surgery, he experienced instant improvements. He was basically back to normal right after the surgery. But a sister that had a similar surgery, the same kind, or not same surgery, but a similar type of surgery, same kind of surgery. And after her surgery, she did not have any improvement. All the symptoms that she had before the surgery were the same after the surgery. And they said, well, you just need to go to rehab and do physical therapy and blah, blah, blah. So she started into that. About 2 or 3 weeks into it, there were such minuscule improvements that basically, as far as she was concerned, there was no improvement. And she was very frustrated. She and I talked, and I was relating to her about recovery from a soldier surgery, and shoulder surgery that I had. And I said, you know what you ought to do is you ought to journal and just keep track of the minuscule improvements from week to week or from day to day. And later I talked to her and she said, you know, that really helped me. And now she has basically full recovery from the surgery and from the things the surgery was trying to correct. And she said what happened is she quit looking for those great big changes and started celebrating in those little changes. And you know what? A lot of little changes lead to big changes. That's right. So don't wait for huge changes before you can smile and rejoice about changes in your marriage. Celebrate even the little victories. Spend time together. Now, let's say you're an outdoorsman and you spend a lot of time on weekends out hunting and fishing. Whatever. You might have to quit all that for a while, maybe even a few years. You say, I'll never give up. You better. You better, or you'll be a bachelor. You might have to give that up for a while to ensure that you have years of happy recreation in the future with your spouse and not just an escape from the misery you're in. You understand? Some guys like to go off to hunting camp so they get out of the house. I'll tell you another thing you can do when you're working on making your marriage happy. Turn off, as one of my friends called it, the idiot box, the television. You can't carry on a conversation when you're distracted all the time by watching the television. Get away from your email. Get away from your text messages. Get away from your cell phone. You know, reserve those things for a time when you and your spouse are not together. Okay? And when you are together, put the thing down. How many times have I gone to a restaurant and she's come from work and he's come from work and they're sitting in a booth across from each other and they are not carrying on a conversation at all? She's looking on her cell phone, he's looking on his cell phone, and they might as well not even be sitting in the same restaurant. Not to say the same booth. Nothing right now is more important to you than fixing the most important part of your life. Listen, you can survive without knowing the news. You can survive without reading your most recent email. Really and truly, if you want to save your marriage, work on the marriage to make it a happy marriage. And then this, it's going to sound redundant, but you'll understand. Go to work on your marriage, listen, together. Together. Not just individually, but together. Ephesians 5:31 tells us what Genesis 2:24 tells us, and that is, for this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. When you have marital problems, listen, we have the problem. So we must work on the problem because we are one flesh. It's our problem, not just my problem, and it's not just your problem. We aren't going to play the blame game. I mean, if you're going to be laying blame, take responsibility for your part of the problem. That's all you can do. And I've already said it, but I'll say it again. Never apologize for something you did not do just to buy peace. With that, you'll end up crippling your marriage. And the reason is your spouse won't have to own up to what he or she did wrong. It's like Bob Jones Sr. said, it's never right to do wrong to get a chance to do right. So marital problems are our problems. They're not his problem. And they're not just your problem. They're not her problem and just your problem. They're our problem. In other words, you and your spouse together. So you and your spouse together work on the marriage. Some people have said, well, as soon as you get that part of your life straightened out, well, then maybe I'll put in some effort to make this thing work. But in the meantime, I'm not lifting another finger to tell you, I know. I know. And you know what? A year later, you'll be saying the same stupid thing you just said then. Won't work. Work on it together. All right. Probably the most important aspect, I gave you some practical things. I didn't mean to leave the most important to the last, but it's here that I want to finalize the emphasis, because you can't do everything with what I'm going to tell you next without doing all these other things that we've just talked about, practically speaking. Listen, here's the last thing. Pray together. Go to church together. Read the Bible together. We live in an age where people have turned to everything but God. And that's because we're in this last times. The Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 2 through 4, Paul tells Timothy to preach the word. Here's the reason why, verses 3 and 4. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. All right, then, we live in a world like that, and you may have gone to the internet to find all the solutions to your marriage and never turn to God. Pray together, go to church together, read the Bible together. Find a good Bible-believing, Bible-preaching, Bible-teaching church. Go to Sunday school. Go to Sunday morning service. Go to the evening service on Sunday. Go to the Wednesday evening prayer meeting. Be there. Be faithful to attend. Listen carefully to the preaching and teaching of the Word of God. Listen to the Bible. Read it. Pray over it. Listen, faithfulness to your church will help establish faithfulness in your relationship. When you go to church, you're going to hear things in the preaching and teaching of the words of God that will really help you. They'll help you grow closer to the Lord, and they'll help you grow closer to each other. You say, well, nobody's preaching on an unrelated topic. Listen, when you're listening to God, He will tell you things through the mouth of the preacher, through the words of God, that will address concerns in your life that are necessary to improve your relationship with each other and with God. When you're at home, pray together. You know the old saying, folks that pray together, stay together. Now, these are the points of how to approach this need to restore your marriage when you messed up. Be honest. Be honest about your contribution to what has gone wrong in your marriage. Because you didn't get where you are without having a contribution to it, okay? Sincerely apologize for what you've done wrong. Because there's no doubt you own some of the problem. Establish some ground rules of communication. That is, you be sure, okay, not to bring up past events and prior relationships, and don't do things and say things to others that cause jealousy. Establish some appropriate boundaries for yourself and for your spouse. The blame game won't help you here. Getting angry and manipulating won't help you here. Learn appropriate and fair ways to communicate with each other. Establish achievable expectations for yourself and for your spouse. Calmly and honestly describe the kinds of situations that contribute to the problems in your marriage. Identify the problem areas. Examine yourself in the sight of God. Find out how God sees you, and then that's the way you are in your marriage. Get all the sin in your life that has contributed to the problems out of your life. Turn away from those things that are creating problems so that your marriage can repair. Go to work on your marriage together. This is your marriage, and the solutions are your solutions. Pray together, go to church together, and read the Bible together. Now, these may seem like a lot of things to do, but if you'll take these steps to add each of these things to your marriage and do them faithfully, you're going to find that you can get through the trouble you have had, and you can move on to some much-desired happiness. Amen.
You have been listening to The Unknown Bible, the radio ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. For information about our church, go to our church website at www.my3bc.com. That's my3bc.com. If you would like to contact us by telephone, our number is 361-241-6100. Bible Believers Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 1701 Ranmorgan Road. If you are not currently a member of a Bible-believing church and you are looking for a church with an uncompromising stand on the words of God, come visit with us this Sunday or Wednesday. We would love to see you.
Hallelujah.